Welcome to part two of the Finances AI Makeover podcast. I'm your host, Katie Hilkemeyer. In part one, Ed, Vidya, and Abraham discuss the evolution of generative AI and its impact on finance organizations. In part two of the podcast, we'll build upon that foundation by exploring AI governance models, the role of AI agents in enhancing finance operations, and the critical skill sets required for AI talent. We hope you find part two of the Finances AI Makeover podcast engaging and insightful. So let's dive in.
Thanks, Katie. Vidya, you've mentioned, again, in other venues, I've seen you talk kind of about human-centric governance around AI. And I was wondering if you could share a little bit about kind of what that is and how you've seen it exercised, maybe at SAP or elsewhere, kind of around AI, because that's another area we're doing it too. The three of us talking about, oh, the technology's great. Oh, you can do this. It's wonderful. And maybe we're giving short shrift to the governance issues, which are probably worthy for a whole another hour discussion just around those sorts of things. So curious what you mean by human-centric and what you've seen taking place. And Abraham, I'll ask you the same question, you know, kind of from the CFO organization perspective, what kind of governance concerns, awareness, structures are we starting to see emerge?
I think surprisingly, you had mentioned this earlier, what's the biggest factor that sometimes organizations are skeptical about, and more than the budget, more than the resources or relevance of AI, it's always around trusting AI. Is my data private? Is my data being used without any bias? What is the uncertainty of risk of using or transferring information that has been used by these different transformative AI tools? Because we all understand that there's a profound impact on a lot of the decision, transparency, privacy, human dignity when it comes to leveraging a lot of this information. And that's why establishing this kind of ethical framework or governance model, or making it really clear at the outset how the data privacy and regulations, not only for the applications that an organization provides, but how it will be consumed, becomes super critical. And SAP has taken huge strides, actually, when I mentioned this earlier, in providing a relevant, reliable, and a responsible working environment for AI. And it's grounded in a lot of human agency and oversight, where you have to provide the transparency, the explainability, because it's a AI at the end is serving a free society, a society that is empowering humans. So to bring these to life, of course, here within SAP, we as employees have our own ethics policy, which we are expected to abide by. There's internal ethics steering committees, which govern how this business AI development happens, because there's so many of these development teams. Of course, every organization has their own. SAP has that, who are creating these AI applications to ensure that they're being directed in the right way and are not trespassing on any of these human rights. We also, of course, have established external AI ethics advisory panels, a lot of cross-disciplinary experts who chime in and ensure that we are working in the right direction and to operationalize all of this, especially in a lot of high-risk use cases. You also have to understand human governance and ethics plays a huge amount of play when it also comes to, as I mentioned, working with the regional, local, government, federal boundaries. You have the European AI Act. You have the AI Bill of Rights within the United States. So there's a lot of public and private participation in these initiatives. We have the AI ethics label, the Digital Trust Forum, which SAP is a part of. So ultimately, AI cannot move or survive without us caring about the impact of AI on people, on businesses, on processes, on economies. And that's what we do, of course, as a part of SAP's culture. But fundamentally, intrinsically, every organization has this kind of a human ethics committee or a human governance in place. And if we don't have that, I do believe that's going to be the biggest roadblock in the adoption of AI in the next few years. It's not going to be about the money. It's going to be about integrity.
Well said. And I think that's really, really important. And it's not the economics. It's not the ROI. It's going to be the ethical, human, regulatory issues. I see it, and I'm surprised, quite frankly, it's not talked about more. And then, so you mentioned a very complex ecosystem of all of the data and the stakeholders, and you have customers, and you have employees, and you have regulators, and you have
regulators, partner right. information. Yeah, it's
extremely complex. And then we're in a networked economy, so you have to worry then about the vendors that serve you. What's their AI philosophy? What kind of governance do they have? Because that then becomes an issue for you. Yeah.
So not only you as a provider of AI services, applications, but also as a consumer, that are you doing the right thing is what's coming in with a lot of the LLMs, not only what's coming in, but what also what's going out. So there's, and this is the number one question that comes from our customers. How is my data getting used? And how can I actually curate my data to ensure that it doesn't fall into the wrong hands?
Exactly. And what are you training with my data? And what are other people training with my data? And, you know, these are all, right now, it's the tip of the iceberg. I think it's going to be much more widely asked in the future. Abraham, CFOs, from their perspective, I know data integrity, data privacy, cyber, Are they thinking about these very complex kind of interrelationships with regard to ethics, or is it still something that's further out for most of them?
Absolutely. What Vidya just mentioned is on top of their mind as well. But I have to say that best performing organization embrace technology. And so what we have seen is that there is a tension between letting people embrace and using the technology and making sure you have guardrails and boundary governance in place to do the right thing. What we have seen on cybersecurity and data privacy, for instance, is that most of the solution used for scalable application solution like ChatGPT enterprises, for instance, which don't train on your data, or a solution for startups where you can get SOC 2 type compliance. The idea here is to have some guardrails in place to work hand in hand with the IT team and the provider and to have a structure that people can follow. But you can only do that when you are moving forward, right? It's very difficult to have all these guardrails when you haven't started the journey. And I mentioned earlier the iterative process of machine learning and AI. This is a game changer where you really have to move one step forward to realize what is out there and build boundaries. We have seen companies spending time building a lot of guardrails and boundaries, but that may not be applicable to their data, to their instances, right? So there is a two-way conversation on that topic that can only be enhanced the more you progress.
That's a great point, that the guardrails, really to develop good guardrails, you need to be moving and you need to know what happens when when the vehicle comes in contact with the guardrail and how you respond. That's a really terrific point. Vidya, you used the word before in a different context, but you said agency, human agency and thinking about the responsibility of the human and still the importance of the human being in the loop. And that's something that we spend a lot of time talking about in our industry, right? We're a regulated industry and we have people reviewing financial performance and different business processes, and we have to be professionally skeptical, and we have to always make sure that regardless of what the technology is telling you, you are applying your own human sense of what's correct, what looks like, you know, what's right and what's not right. But there's also another emerging trend, which I think we should probably talk about for a minute, because it's a good point in the conversation, and that's agents, right? So AI agents, right? So there's an evolution that's taking place now where, hey, at some point we will have specific AIs that will do specific activities, and then we'll work with other agents. And we'll share activities and I'll start with a good application. From my perspective, it's AI can be a black box. So if I'm going to go in and look at, you know, a process and to kind of audit it, I want to understand every single step, and nothing can be, well, then the machine made a decision. That's how, based on what. So agents are nice because I can break up a complex process into very discrete steps and get comfortable around each step, see that the AI does that same thing thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of times, always reaches the same answer. Hey, that looks pretty good to me. So that helps me kind of become comfortable with the black box of just you throw data in and you get an output. So there's an example of where agents might actually make the process less opaque, more understandable for a human.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. But there's the other side of that too, when agents begin making decisions between themselves and making changes to themselves. So curious to hear kind of what you're seeing, Vidya, with regard to the development, adoption of agents. And Abraham, you know, we'll talk also about what you're seeing kind of with CFOs and finance organizations, because I know I hear a lot of it from companies that I speak with.
I think without doubt, the whole agents, agentic frameworks is going to be top of mind for organizations in 2025. This is going to drive, I believe, a lot of the technological innovations this year. And while not new, you described it quite perfectly, Edward. It's like breaking down a lot of processes. But in an organization, we've been doing it for so many years. When you have a project manager who's entrusted with, basically executing or delivering on a project, and then he decides and breaks this up into different chunks or tasks, and then allocates it to these experts, team leads, developers, et cetera, et cetera, within the team who take on this responsibility and create it. So the whole concept of agents and agentic framework, I believe, will explode. SAP has already embraced this. We've made announcements in a lot of our key conferences around this, specifically around our offerings around Joule. Joule is our conversational co-pilot, or you can say our intuitive assistant, which spans across the different business processes. And it's now embedded in almost 80% of a lot of functionalities, and we will continue to build this out as you see this forward in the next few months. And Joule, therefore, across whether it's business, whether it's AI, sales, procurement, IT, sourcing, you have all of these different forms and functions that a business processes touches. So now you have these little mini agents at work, and each of these, which are picking up their own task and then reporting to the headmaster, the ERP headmaster, on how all of the whole transformation function will then come to fruition. So whether it's a feature pack of different use cases, finance professionals can use general ledger, account balances, entries, service departments, service quotations, all of these siloed functionalities which system administrator and architect had to take care of individually. We are building more than 300 plus Fiori applications. We've able to already, both within our private and public cloud editions, we've introduced these for our business users, for sales professionals, for fulfillment, for departure, delivery time. So agents equipped via what we call as our build environment or our Joule Studio is something that we believe our customers are going to use heavily in 2025 to build out these niche use cases that you will see coming forward. It's going to act as the biggest ROI transformer, whether it's for budgetary or time relevant purposes. This would be the way to go. What's also interesting to me, and I'm curious to see how this involves, is this whole, I call it the multiverse of agents. Because you have every organization, every business process spawning these agents, and how do these now talk to each other within the boundaries of this, you know, I would say loosely governed framework of agents talking to each other, because you do have that kind of control within your own sphere. But like Abraham mentioned, seeing how these perform across different we need to see whether Spider-Man spawns to that same function. You have four of them, or one becomes efficient and takes over the master control.
Right. And do they evolve? And what you thought was the right agent maybe wasn't the right agent. And agents select better agents, you know, because you don't have visibility across the whole ecosystem of agents. So, that's going to be... That's going to be interesting.
It's funny, Abraham, as you say it, I can immediately imagine Matrix and, you know, this whole spawn of agents just standing there,
right,
multiplying. But yes.
Yeah. And but when you look at those frameworks, I mean, it seems to be the next logical step, right? Rather than us directing every step, allowing these to kind of pick the next step and optimize the next step and the next decision that should be made. And it sounds creepy and scary and loss of control on one side. And the other side, it's like, well, that's what I want technology to do for me. I want it to take more and more off my plate and make good suggestions to me. And once I become confident, then that's a feature that I want. But that's going to be, I think, a hard transition for a number of different reasons. Abraham, what have you been seeing with CFOs? Is it something that's on their agenda, or is it still something a little further out?
No, that is consistent. What we notice is very consistent with what you just mentioned. And I have to say that there is an agreement here that they have to keep a human in the loop. The question is, where do you keep that human, and to which extent do you ask the agent to escalate something? The CFO we talked to, they break down their framework about agent in four different steps and what they expect from an agent. First is the perception. Perception means the agent can gather information from multiple data sources, cleanse that, and gather that information. Second is the reasoning. The agent can process the data to understand what's going on and come up with either suggestion for action or propose insight, right? Third is action. The agent can decide then, based on the context and all the data and parameters that you put in place, to take an action and influence your financial system or something like that. And the last step here is the learning, and this is critical because you want to make sure the decision and the learning process is healthy and positive. And so then the agent can improve and adapt over time from learning from feedback and experience. So what we have seen, CFOs and teams spend a lot of time assessing at which point they want a human in the loop for what type of task, depending on the complexity of the task, to make sure a positive virtue of the machine learning is experience, and the action are consistent with the expectation. Most of the time, on all the CFOs we interviewed, they kept a human in the loop at the action steps to make sure it is consistent with the expectation, except in rare instances where we are talking about like simple automated tasks, routine tasks that do not require significant oversight. But that has been very important.
We haven't talked about this specifically, and I know we're reaching the end of our time together, but I wanted to bring up this one last area. A question I often ask when I'm working with our CFOs and finance teams is, hey, what are the top concerns you have right now? And historically, the top concerns have been, I want to be able to make better decisions on the data that I have, right? And finance teams, that's been up there. Really high in the stack has always been adopting new technologies. So what's the right point for me to bring in process mining? What's the right point for me to bring in RPA? And historically, there's always been the latest technology. And how do I bring it in? But frankly, having the right talent was always low in the stack, because I have CPAs, I have whoever it is that I needed, I have some good accountants, and that was never really that important. In the last couple of years, when I ask those questions, and I typically poll people, and I do this every single week, talent is now number one or number two every single time. All right, so what are we going to do about that? All right, how does this impact the adoption use of generative AI? I would love to hear kind of your perspectives on the talent issue. Is it a non-issue? People are just going to get smart around generative AI. Same people who have been working previously in finance and accounting can just add this to their toolkit, and it's going to be a hiccup? Or is it going to be something more profound and something that organizations have to think about? Curious on your perspective.
Well, I think you mentioned this. The amount of training hours that have gone into organizations have significantly increased. Even being in an AI organization, I know I have to mandatorily undergo a lot of trainings that basically equip me for my new role, my new function. And it's overwhelming, actually, to keep pace be informed of everything that's happening, not only within your own organization, but externally. Even externally, I think the changes might be easier to absorb, but sometimes the rapid pace of development within your own organization definitely requires a massive amount of upskilling, which organizations, I do believe, are investing in, but there's a long, long way to go. And that kind of investment will, I think, specifically in 25 and beyond, will absolutely triple, quadruple, and we'll see the benefits of that. Talent, it's a catch-22, right, with AI. You don't learn it, you lose your job. You learn it, you still might lose your job. There's always that hesitancy and fear in a lot of our minds when we come to understand this. But between a rock and a hard place, embrace something that helps you create better pictures.
Or there's even a third opportunity: to learn it and then get a new job. It's even more interesting than the one you had, because now you can do so much more in a day. So, no, well said. Thank you. Abraham.
And I found in the last category that you just mentioned, I personally took a career break here to go back to school to learn it and try to take a more interesting job. But I have to say that most of the CFOs we talk about mention the issue of job displacement. Some of the struggle they have internally is the fear of job loss by their teams, right, when they start implementing that. And based on what we have seen so far, the challenge is about the upscaling, right, because AI, most of the use case we mentioned require a human in the loop, But then that means you need to transform someone who was, who in the past will just doing a routine task as someone who will review the task performed by AI now or provide insight to that task. And that is a challenge that some organizations struggle to assess and struggle to manage. That's number one. Number two is there is also a challenge around progression in the company, right? Because when I started my career in audit, for instance, at the Big Four, you start as a junior, you do the groundwork, and then you progress, right? When the junior have access to AI and can quickly deliver a report within a couple of hours or minutes, then they ask for more high-value work. And the high-value work right now is done by the manager. And so there is also a challenge internally to assess how you distribute the work and the responsibilities. But I think ultimately that will create new opportunities for everyone, and it's for the better. This is not going away. So each company's based on their culture will have to address these challenges. But definitely that fear is and that concern is on top of mind of everyone.
Thank you, Ed, Vidya, and Abraham, for sharing your invaluable insights and expertise with us today. And thank you to our listeners of the Finances AI Makeover podcast. As we learned, embedding AI within finance organizations can significantly enhance process efficiencies, data analysis accuracy, and predictive power. However, it also poses certain challenges and risks that must be managed. We hope our discussion has provided you with meaningful insights to support your own AI journey. For more information and insights on AI, please visit kpmg.com/US.